Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, a quick mention of knitting goodies that I got for Christmas, a rundown of my year in knitting, and a little plea for help at the end. Hello, my name is Heather. I'm at The Ordinary Knitter on Instagram. I'm The Ord Knitter on Twitter. And I'm at Ordinary Knitting, or just Ordinary Knitting, on Ravelry. I've had a few comments and questions and things over social media in the last few weeks, which is great. It's really lovely to know that there are real people behind the listening figures, and I really welcome people's comments and involvement, so that's really lovely, and I hope that that grows as time goes on. I hope also that you've had a lovely few days. I hope you've been able to enjoy, as well as inevitably scurrying around looking after people, because that's just inevitable. I know somebody from my charity knitting group who needs to have an operation on her foot, and she was offered the choice of having it before Christmas or after Christmas, and she said, well, before, of course, because she had 6 weeks in plaster after that. And she said, I can just sit there and tell people what to do. So I thought that was a really excellent strategy. I've managed to slink away now for a little while. My son is happily occupied playing with his, what did he call it? A heptacopter, I think. A mini drone that his sister gave him. And so far it's dropped in my tea, landed on my leg and got caught up in her hair. I thought there was a bit of karma going on there. Was Santa good to you? Did you ask for any knitting loveliness? I think, as I've mentioned, well, I know I've mentioned and probably gone on at great length, I had asked for some KnitPro cubics, well, KnitPro Novas, some of which are cubics, and Santa came through on that, I was delighted to say. I haven't used them yet, so I'll talk about them in more detail in the new year. But I was very pleased to get those, and the Arne and Carlos 55 Christmas Balls to Knit. I knew that one was on its way, but still, it's a real thrill to hold it in my hands. And my son gave me some yarn I bought myself a little while ago. I think 2017 is going to be the year of knitting myself tops, and I had seen some yarn and watched it like a hawk as the price came down in Aldi. And when it was down to 50p for four 100-gram skeins, I pounced and I bought about £5 worth. So I've probably got enough to make myself an afghan plus three jumpers, but there we go. It's a pink marl, which I like. I'm not a pinky person, it's more of a lavender, I suppose. But anyway, so that was lovely. But I'll talk about those next year as I sort of come actually to use them. I'm really pleased to say that the knitted things that I gave people went down well. Unfortunately, the Rico sock stop gel that you put on the soles of socks still hasn't arrived. Love Knitting expects it to arrive in the next couple of days, so I still need to put that on the soles of my friend's mistake braid slipper socks. My son likes the socks I made him, but he's calling them his ballerina socks, as he can slide around the kitchen floor on them. So I think as soon as that sock stop arrives, I'm going to be blobbing the soles of his as well, although it's the wrong colour. There we go, too bad. I said I'd do a little review of the year. I'm not going to bore you to tears with tremendous detail on every project, because if you've been listening for any length of time, you will have heard about most of these projects. I began this podcast in about April, I think it was, last year. And I've done a great deal. I think 2016 has been my single most productive year so far, as my confidence has grown and my kit has grown, and my readiness to take on all sorts of different projects, and also to sort of give them seriously to people and think that they might actually wear them or use them, as my technical execution has improved. So this time last year, I had just finished the first version of the To the Sea jumper, the infamous To the Sea jumper, and I started another Terry's jumper that was for my husband. So that was two really big jumpers that inevitably take a lot of time. I picked up Terry off the sofa yesterday because my husband had left it screwed in a ball, as you do, and my mother needed to sit down there yesterday. And God, it's heavy. I'd forgotten. Just, you know, it's a big jumper in a chunky yarn, and it's quite a proposition. I followed that with a couple of knits for my daughter, the punk rock backpack, which I'm pleased to say she has actually used. I'm always so tickled when I see her take that somewhere. She likes the fact, she's got this thing about Asian design and Japanese aesthetic and so on and so forth. And she likes the sort of cartoony aspect of the monkey face on it. And I also made her the autumn in Alta poncho that she tends to wear it around the house if she's chilly. It's a bit like a wearable blanket, really, or sometimes she wears it in bed. Shortly after that, I did a bit of wrist warmers, because we were still in the early spring at that point, so I made the little Houndel's wrist warmers. And the great thing about making those is it's just, I didn't even know that you could knit wrist warmers flat and seam them. It's so obvious, it's blatant once you think about it, but I never had. Wrist warmers had never really been on my horizon until my mum had asked me to knit some for her. She's, as I've mentioned before, if I'm the ordinary knitter, she's the reluctant knitter, and yet she keeps being drawn back to it. And she had wanted some wrist warmers with a cable in it. She'd seen the ones she liked, but she didn't want to tackle a cable, so I made those for her. And she had originally mentioned my selling them in a place where she volunteers, but the thing I didn't like was the thumb hole. The wrist warmers that she asked me to make, I'll try to remember the name off the top of my head, I can't. They have an integral thumb. They're knit in the round and you create a thumb hole. And this is just something I'm not very good with. It wasn't actually laddering, but it looked like laddering. Well, I say it wasn't laddering. I hadn't gone wrong, but the effect of the yarn, well, the yarn was pulled a lot around the thumb and it just looked scrappy to me, and I wouldn't have been happy to sell those. I wouldn't have put those forward for selling, which is why I was so delighted when I discovered the little Houndales, because I love doing mattress stitch. It's just so neat. It's very, very satisfying. And so you can put the thumb hole just where you need it for yourself. You just put it where it suits you for where you want the wrist warmers to stop on your hand. You know, how far down your fingers you want them to come or whatever. And it looks just, you simply just don't seam where the thumb is. You run the yarn through the wrong side instead and then resume mattress stitch as appropriate. And I think it's a really lovely finish. The other virtue of the little Houndales is they don't have any ribbing. They are all stocking stitch and they're deliberately meant to curl. You know, that curl that stocking stitch always does at the ends. That's a design feature. So all in all, you know, you certainly couldn't ask for anything more simple in a wrist warmer. And if you've never knit one and you're considering it, I would really suggest starting with these. The other nice thing is that because it's plain stocking stitch, depending on exactly what you wanted to do, you've basically got this large area on the back of the hand where you can put a motif of some sort, whether you use colour work, whether it's intarsia or duplicate stitch, you've got that option. And that's basically what I did for the, what did I call them, the late mitts that I made for my stepdaughter with the TARDIS on the back of the hand. Again, I always seem to err on putting the motif too close towards the thumb side of the hand, but that's one of those little things. I can keep experimenting with that. As the spring wore on this year, the baby knitting started, because I had a friend who was expecting her sixth baby and someone else who was expecting her first. And I hadn't done, well, really any baby knitting ever. We're not yet at the stage of grandchildren, although my stepchildren are in their 20s, so, you know, might not be a long, long wait. So I've never done any baby knitting. I've never had anyone, all my friends are way past the age of having babies. So that was rather lovely, actually. It was, as is always the case, you know, with Ravelry and so on, it's always lovely having a noodle about, deciding what you're going to use. And the things that I came to love with the baby knitting, it became my go-to gift when I knew someone was expecting a baby, was what technically called in the pattern baby cocoon sack and caps, but I think that's a bit of an ugly name for a sweet little thing, so I call them sleep pods. They're basically these little bags that you put the baby into and it has a matching hat. And it, one thing I really enjoyed about those was the colours and using the, was it Stylecraft or King Cole. Anyway, the recycled cotton Aran, that was really nice to knit with. If you're interested in looking more closely at the details of any of these things, they're all under my Ravelry profile. All my Ravelry projects are prefixed with the date and then the underscore and then the month. So something I made in April this year would be 2016_04 and then the name of the project. So if you wanted to see more details of yarn that I used or patterns that I chose and all that sort of stuff, it's all on the project pages. I also made the baby raglan sweater for my friend who was expecting number 6, and I really, really enjoyed that. I was very pleased with the design. I enjoy charting, one of those little things. I'm really quite a methodical and orderly person, really, when all other things are equal. And I enjoyed getting that right. That was in Tarsia. The number of ends I wove in on those, that was just spectacular. But that turned out really well overall, although there were a couple of points that I would definitely look to do better if I was to make another one. And my friend has requested another one for when her baby's a bit bigger. So who knows, I might get round to doing that sometime later this year. And the other thing that was new to me this year was lace knitting. I did a little bit of lace knitting in a much too heavy yarn, but for reasons that are all in the podcast I recorded at the time, it was the right, yeah, it was the right yarn to use to go with something else I was giving her, if not the right yarn for the project itself. But because it was just a sort of mat, the gauge really wasn't important. So that was quite fun. I enjoyed that. The big deal about lace is that you have to really concentrate. It's not something you do in front of the television. It's not something you do while trying to hold a conversation. But I really enjoyed that. And then I made another couple of things along those lines. I did the flower and stem cloth for my friend's birthday, and I made the Lacy Dragon large-scale washcloth. I made two of those as presents in a much better yarn. It was just really the perfect yarn, both in terms of colour and weight and effect for those. So that was rather nice. It was nice to do something that was just decorative, having been doing some fairly practical stuff. You can't get much of a greater contrast between a great big, heavy, chunky, extra-large man's sweater and a small lacy mat. After that, the socks reared their heads again. I call all the socks I make for my husband school-run socks. I don't follow a pattern that anyone else has written anymore. I have my own basic combination of Judy's Magic cast-on for the toes. I do them toe-up, two at a time, magic loop. And the thing I like about Judy's Magic cast-on is that there's no seaming on the toe. It's probably just me being clunky, but I used to Kitchener stitch sock toes. I used to do them the standard way, cuff down, on double-pointed needles as well. But now I prefer to do them the other way. And I find when I do Kitchener stitch, as I have to occasionally do now, I did it when I did the afterthought heel during the year. I always feel like I sort of get a knobble at one end of the Kitchener. One end is just not as I want. So that's one reason why I prefer to do them toe up. Also, I like to do a Flegel heel, and that's a toe up heel. So I do Judy's Magic cast on. I do whatever I fancy as a decorative, what have you, on the top of the foot. I do the Flegel heel, and then I just do the leg and the cuff. I do one by one ribbing for about 2 to 3 inches, because I make these for my husband, and also I have a certain stitch count for him, and we know that that works, and it makes him a comfortable and enduring sock. Actually, I've really been pleased at how well the socks I make him are lasting. You know, some of them are in their third or fourth year, and the thing that made the biggest difference to that is I made a rookie error early on, and I thought that because standard sock yarn rather is 4-ply, I thought all 4-ply was sock yarn, and that's very much not the case. So the first pair of socks I made him began to disintegrate within a few months, because they simply, I know he's a big heavy bloke, heavy on his feet, and they just didn't have a hope of standing up to it. Once I realised that and I started using Regia and things like that, the socks have just worked brilliantly. One of the things, anyone who's been listening for a while will know my tumble dryer saga, and one of the things that I look for in a yarn is that it can be tumbled, because I do so much laundry. Unfortunately, our house is a little prone to dampness. There's one or two rooms, you know, like spare rooms and we've lived here a few years and the family makeup has shifted in that time and got rooms that aren't now used as much as they were, and you do get that slight So I don't dry clothes in the house, partly because they don't get as dry as you would like, as fast as you would like, but also I just can't release all that moisture into the air. So in decent weather I use the washing line, but quite often I have to use the tumble dryer. So I have to have things, with the odd exception, things have to be tumbleable. And the Regia sock yarns have been great like that. But I'd also like to try Patton's sock yarn next year. I've heard really good things about the Patton's sock yarn, so I'm going to look at that a little bit more closely next time that socks rear their head. But honestly, I have made so many pairs of socks in the last few weeks that I think I might leave it a bit. Yeah, might leave it till the spring or the early summer. I made another pair of school run socks not too long after that. I was saying, the reason I call them school run socks is because that's when I do a lot of the knitting of them, when I'm waiting at school for my children to come out. I can get a good 20 minutes, depending on how early I've left, a good 20 minutes to half an hour, which in an ordinary week, I normally pick the children up 4 nights out of 5. So that's an extra couple of hours potentially of knitting on top of my normal evening time, which is great. And then I made the Lawrence jumper. I would call that a big success. It's by the Barocco Design Studio. It's a very simple pattern. It basically has a garter stitch yoke from sort of like the clamp, well, if you were a woman, sort of top bust upwards, this is for my son, that area is all garter stitch, and the main bit is stocking stitch, but the shaping just works really well for him. I really liked it. So that was, and he wears it, and every time he wears it, I'm always struck by just how nice he looks in it. The colours work nicely. The second pair of school run socks, which I just mentioned, that's where I decided to do, well, what I was originally calling a forethought heel. Oh yes, it was a forethought heel, because the difference is a forethought heel is where you have put in a piece of yarn, scrap yarn, where you're planning to put in, come back and put in the heel. An afterthought heel is where you just completely knit a tube with no markings, and then you come back and decide where you want the heel to go, and you pick up your stitches at that point. I found it quite traumatic. Anybody who was listening then will remember that it was pretty much a case of never again. I just came out of it wondering why anybody ever puts themselves through that. I mean, clearly that was because I was making a hugely ham-fisted effort at it, but gosh, yes, that was not a particularly enjoyable exercise. And I'm quite prepared to, you know, go through and face a few difficulties on a learning curve, but ultimately, you know, I don't have to knit, I do it because I like it. So I'm not particularly going to put myself through afterthought heels again. Not long after that, I discovered the Capitan hat. I've talked quite a lot about these. I've made 4 now, I think. The first one was for me, then my son wanted one, then I made one for my mother-in-law, and I gave my mother one for Christmas, and she was delighted, and she put it on immediately. She unwrapped it and it stayed there. And I hadn't thought of this, because I said to her when she put it on, I said, if you like, I can undo the brim and I can put something in to stiffen it, because that is an option. You can put in cardboard, although obviously you've got to think twice about whether you're ever likely to wash it or go out in the rain, or you can cut a sort of half moon shape from a milk carton. So I hadn't done that. I thought I'll start off by not doing it, and if she wants it, I deliberately left slightly more of a sticky out tail after I had woven in ends than I would normally, just so I could find it to undo again if she wanted. But she said, oh no, this is great like this, because I can roll it up and put it in my pocket, and I hadn't thought of that. So I think the Capitan hat is just an absolutely brilliant hat, and because it's the main part of the sort of skull, as it were, rather than the brim, it's a cable pattern at the front, and if you want to make the hat longer, as I did for myself, you just do an extra set of cable repeats, which is something like 12 rounds, and it just gives you that little bit of extra for putting over your ears or whatever, because my ears get a bit cold. If it's cold enough for me to wear a hat, it's cold enough for me to want a hat that's going to go over my ears. So they were great. And, you know, I'll definitely be making possibly 1 or 2 different colours for myself. And if anyone ever is foolish enough to mention within my hearing that they need a hat, they'll probably find themselves the recipient of a Capitan hat. After that, I moved on to the Doctor Who jumper for my son. I was very pleased with the charting for that and the colour work, or well, it was in Tastia or colour work? I can't remember now. Can't remember how I did it, because the motifs are close enough together that you could do colour work, but I have a suspicion I did in Tastia. Once or twice I've done colour work and wished I'd done in Tastia, because it just hasn't looked as neat in the end. You get, I always get a tiny bit of puckering, however hard I try. Whereas with Intarsia, you know, you don't get that to in the same extent than if you're carrying floats across the back. Even though I'm quite fussy with my floats, and I will normally only go 3 stitches before, even if it's only a 5 or 6 stitch gap between bits of colour, I'll always anchor my yarn between the two. And that does help. That's just because that's what I need to do to keep it looking okay on the outside. And I think it also, you know, you get that nice, it helps to keep them warmer as well. The hood, though, was the big sort of fail with that. But because I was improvising this jumper, basically, I based the body proportions on Lawrence because it fitted my son so nicely. But Lawrence has a small standy-up crew neck. It doesn't have the split at the front for a V that then goes up into the hood. So I had to wing all that. But I mean, I was looking at old patterns where I'd done a hood before and trying to adapt it. And I made it much too big. But because I had seamed the hood with a 3-needle bind-off, I was able to come back. I measured it all again on my son, what we needed. I undid it, as in I unpicked the 3-needle bind off, and I just ripped back and then put the needles back in and did the 3-needle bind off again, just making the hood quite a lot smaller. And he's worn it a few times, which is great. So I was very pleased with that. And then with my improvisation mojo in full swing, I went on to make the ladybird hat for my mother-in-law, and that was a real mental workout. In my opinion, it didn't entirely succeed, but people were very nice about it. I learnt a huge amount about designing, primarily how difficult it is and how designers earn absolutely every penny that they charge for their patterns. Shortly after that, I discovered the Soul Garden socks. My motivation to do these was that my daughter had been given some slouchy socks for Christmas, so we're talking quite a long way on now. This must have been September, when I realised that she'd worn them to pieces, literally, and she'd got out a needle and thread and sewn them up at one point, which is absolutely, it's hell freezing over type stuff. My daughter voluntarily using a needle and thread, because both of us are terrible at sewing and really don't enjoy it. And I thought, oh, well, if she's liking her slouchy socks that much, I must make her some. So I discovered the Soul Garden socks. I swiftly morphed those into my own normal way of doing socks. And really, I was just taking the stitch count from the Soul Garden socks. So what I've done, because I don't want to sully anybody's patterns, the first pair I think I did put on my Ravelry project page as Soul Garden socks, but the ones I've done after that, I've given them a slightly different, slightly punning name, because I don't want people to look at mine and think, oh, those are Soul Garden socks, oh, they're a bit naff, aren't they? I'd far rather somebody actually went to the proper Soul Garden socks that had been, you know, properly done by the designer to see what they really are. So I consider this, in the open source community, open source software, you talk about forking a project, which is where you take an existing project and you sort of take it off in a slightly different direction. And so that's what I consider I've done with these. So I've now made her 3 pairs, including one that went into her Christmas stocking. Then my next new sock discovery was the garden clog socks. The main virtue of these is that they don't really have a leg and a cuff. They're very short. They're designed to be worn with Crocs, that type of thing. But it means that they're a super quick knit, especially if you're doing them in a heavy yarn. And you don't have to do miles of leg and ribbing. I did them just out of interest, really. I started doing them expecting to give them to my husband, but then I started going to this charity knitting group, and it came about that they didn't have anybody who knitted socks. And so I thought, oh, well, fair enough. This first pair that are on the needle, I'll just give them to them. And which was, that was great. They were pleased with that. And I made a second pair to give to my son in his Christmas stocking. But again, because I've taken the basic idea of a sock that more or less finishes above the ankle bone, I'm not calling those garden clog socks now, because that would be misleading for the original Garden Clog sock designer and pattern, so I can't remember what I've called those, but I doubt it's anything terribly exciting. Just to reflect the fact now that I've diverged quite a lot from the pattern, but what I had taken was the basic stitch count. The ones I've made my son, they are a bit too big. They're not as big as they were originally going to be. I had to rip out because I realised they were going to fit me following a particular pattern, a different pattern, because I was needing the stitch count for a heavier yarn than the original Garden Clog socks used. So I reduced it a lot. They're still a bit too big, but you know, he will grow. But I thought I might have a go at making him another pair that are just kind of, say, 4 stitches smaller, because when you're using a chunky yarn and you're just talking about a child's foot, which is kind of size 1, you know, four stitches can make quite a difference. In the autumn, I also started making the ivy wrap top for me. But really, I mean, there was no problem in starting it. It wasn't wrong to start it, but it was the wrong time of year to be making myself a long and involved project, because obviously the Christmas knitting was starting to rear its head. So I'm still doing that, but I'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. It rumbles on. I'm looking forward to wearing it, but I've hit a bit of a wall. So then all my gift knitting started up. I won't go through all that again because I've talked a lot about that in the last few weeks. My balls have arrived. I think I did mention that, didn't I? The knitted baubles worked, so I was pleased with those. Too late for this year, but that doesn't really worry me. I'm happy to steal a march on myself for next year. So I think it's fair to say that overall 2016 has been the year of the sock. Certainly how it feels. But then last night, I'll talk in a little bit more detail in a minute about the problem I'm having with Ivy, but I couldn't carry on for a bit. And I thought, oh, I need something else that I can just pick up and do without too much thought. And because of the way the type of socks that I knit don't normally have anything more complex than a sort of a waffle design on the top or a rib or something like that, they're really mindless. And if you're doing them in an Aran or even a chunky, they just knit up in absolutely no time at all. So I'm going to have to get something else on the needles that I can just pick up when I want to be able to keep half an eye on the TV or join in on the conversation, because with where I'm at with Ivy at the moment, I can't really do that. I said at the beginning that I had a little plea for help, and I do. I don't know if anybody listening has ever made the Ivy wrap top, but I've got to the point where I've done the back and I'm doing the left front because it's a wrap top. Just, I know you've probably clocked this anyway, but obviously the front isn't made in a single piece. The front is made in 2 pieces, which when you wear it overlap. And you start on the hem, well, you know, the welt. So I've done that. That's the twisted rib section. I've done about 8 or 10 inches long now and starting to come into the body. And I'm going to have to keep an eye quite carefully on the shaping because I made the back longer than the pattern says, because that's what I prefer. I'm going to have to make sure that the front matches up to that. But that's not too serious. I think I can probably cope with that. But now there's at the same time shaping. I'm fine with the concept of at the same time. I have no problem understanding that I need to do one thing over here and something else over there. That's absolutely fine. What I can't see is where one bit relates to another. Basically, you're shaping the waist, the neck, and the armhole. It's fine. I understand each bit individually. What I'm really struggling with is where one of those elements comes in with everything else. And if you're sufficiently motivated, I did start a technical query, a technique forum query on this yesterday. I haven't checked yet this morning. By the time I went to bed last night, I'd had 2 or 3 replies, but the penny just hadn't dropped. So what I think I might do this morning is try and find a quiet corner and sit down with it all and do what one very helpful person suggested, which is basically writing it out row by row to see if that helps it fall into place, but also to log what you need to do on each row. She said you can even draw yourself 3 columns, because in this instance I've got waist, armhole and neck, and write down for each row what if anything you need to do for each of those rows. So what I'm hoping is that if I start that process, the penny will clang into place and I'll realise where this particular bit I'm struggling with needs to come in, because that's what I can't tell at the moment. It's where this particular bit, how it relates to everything else. But if you're sufficiently motivated, you've got nothing better to do, I'll link to it in the show notes, and you can always go and have a look at my Ravelry query and see whether you're able to, you know, help me, poor me, understand where it's all not working. Because at the moment, until I've done that, I've just hit a brick wall with Ivy and I can't carry on. To be fair, it's a more complicated, the shaping's not the pattern, the twisted ribbon, everything's fine, I can manage all that. The shaping is a little bit more complicated than I thought it was going to be. But there we go, I'm not frightened of it. I'm frustrated, really, more than anything. But what's it called? Knit and Natter starts again in the first or second week of January. So there's one lady there who's very good with all this sort of stuff. So if I still haven't managed to sort it out, then I can go and ask her. And in the meantime, I'll probably cast on some socks and maybe look also at casting on for a black cardigan for myself, because I've got one I wear a lot, but it's very thin. And on the coldest days, I find myself wanting something a bit heavier. And I've got some black DK, so lots of black DK. So I might start looking at that. Seeing as I'm now spoilt for choice for needles, I don't have to worry. The only thing I might be struggling for a bit is a cable, but I'll have to think about that. So that's me, really. That's been 2016. Ivy is where I'm at the moment. It was a lovely relief for the sort of, well, certainly, where are we? It was the Thursday when I handed over the socks. I think I was all finished with the knitting on the Friday, which was the day before Christmas Eve. I was all done by then. I'd done all my weaving in events, all my seaming. Oh, the herringbone knit mitts were a big success. I was really, really pleased with how they turned out, and my husband's, how he reacted to them. He really liked them. But it was really nice then for 2 or 3 days to pick up. I was still at the time on the twisted rib section of Ivy. It was really nice to be able to pick my knitting up because I wanted to do a few more rows, put it down, and not have that constant, oh, I've got to block this, weave that, wrap the other. It was really nice. So I wasn't getting sick of the knitting at all, no way, far from it, but still, it was lovely to sort of just have the pressure off. And I hope you enjoyed, you know, if you did any Christmas knitting, I hope you enjoyed that. The one last thing I want to mention really quickly is Knitting Hour on Twitter. It's on a Thursday evening. It's between 7:30 and 8:30. Get someone else to put the kids to bed if need be. It's really worth joining in. It's run by Nitty Nadia, and it's great. So really, it's a lovely bunch of people. People have different, you know, we all knit different sorts of things, and everybody brings something different to it. So do consider joining in if you haven't before. And if you lurk, do pipe up, because it's just lovely to hear from people. That's me for now. I'm sorry, I've rambled on for over half an hour. Have a lovely rest of the week. We have a birthday to squeeze in, because hey, you know, it would just be dull otherwise. Have a fabulous Hogmanay. Happy New Year for 2017, because it will be 2017 before I'm here again. And happy knitting. Bye.